Today on the Intuition for Changemakers show, you get to hear how the getting answers process, the topic of my book, works for someone else. After I heard that my solutionary student, Rhonda Zaycox, had a whole notebook she's been keeping for years specific to using her getting answers process, I just had to invite her on the show to share her rich experience and examples. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friend, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemakers show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Welcome to the Intuition for Changemakers show, everyone. I am your host, Aimée Cartier, and I am delighted to have a treat for you today. We have a special guest, Rhonda Zaycox. So Rhonda is one of my solutionary members. So she and I, like the rest of our circle, are circling together every new and full moon for a whole year. And each session, we gather to talk about the content of my solutionary's course, which is basically all of the intuitive tools that I use and the practices. And I invited Rhonda on the show today because one of the things that we discuss in the course of our year together is the getting answers process, which if you're a listener of the show, you have heard me mention, you know I have a book called Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. And during that time period where our solutionaries were discussing this, I realized that Rhonda has what I consider a special expertise in this subject and in this work, primarily because even before she was a student of mine, before she was in our solutionary circle, she used this book regularly for a couple of years. I'll have her tell us about the timing. And what is amazing about her process is that she has a whole entire notebook dedicated to her questions and her answers. So she really documented this process for herself, the process, the questions, and the answers. The process is simple. If you are familiar with it already, anyone can do it. It's what it gives you that is so positively life-changing and affirming. And this is why I was so excited to have Rhonda on the show to hear from a different perspective what her experience has been with the Getting Answers process. So welcome to the show, Rhonda Zaycox.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you. It's so fun. So let's just start with the basics. How did you come across my book?
Well, years ago, my yoga teacher at the time was taking a year-long training with Marie Montessori.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and recommended that I read her book, Intuitive Self-Healing,
okay,
as I've been intrigued by energy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I probably now have read it 5 times and attended a couple of Marie's workshops when she came to Portland.
Okay.
In Marie's book, under the further reading section, your book, Getting Answers, was listed. I typically follow up on books referenced by authors, healers that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So a while later, I purchased your book and read it. I thought it was great and applied the process for a while. That was several years ago.
Love it.
And then let it go for maybe a year or so. And then last fall, I was flying to Denver to visit my daughter, who goes to Colorado State University in Fort Collins. And as I typically do, I went to my bookshelf to see what book would just jump into my bag so mm-hmm. I could read it while flying. Your book jumped into my bag. So I reread the entire book on the flight and thought, how did I stop this process? And so immediately began applying it again. And even when I got off the plane, I Googled you to learn more about you and noticed you were just starting the Solutionaries. And that's when I jumped into the learning community.
I love it. I love it. So you have a specific notebook dedicated to this. Is that right?
Correct.
What does it look like? Give us some, just put it in context for us.
Yeah, it is a 6x8-inch spiral notebook that you buy at Target. Nothing fancy, but it does have some beautiful, looks like hand-painted flowers from a print on it.
I love it. I love it. Just a regular notebook.
Yep.
Okay. So do you remember your initial reaction to the book? Like when you first discovered it? What were you thinking when you were reading it?
Well, I would say it really resonated with me because starting in my early 20s, I've been intrigued by the unseen, invisible side of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read many what you might call New Age books. I'm very familiar with the law of attraction, very familiar with the mantra, desire, ask, believe, receive. That idea was really cemented in me with Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way.
Mm.
So the four-step formula just felt very familiar to me. It was like, oh, I know this. And why don't I actually practice it? I'm famous for getting ideas, but not necessarily putting things into practice. And so what I think was the difference with your book compared to other books, it was just so practical, kind of a step-by-step with lots of examples that you gave that just made it very easy to integrate into kind of my daily practice of journaling.
I love it. I love it. I was so excited, you all, when I heard that she had a specific notebook just for this, because I always am saying to, or I suggest that you write down your questions when you do them. And it's not obligatory and it doesn't matter to the process at all. But I just think it is so delightful personally when I've written a question. Sometimes you even forget that you wrote the question, you have the date, and then you realize, oh, just a couple of days later, that was answered for one thing or another. So I'm going to ask Rhonda specifically about her notebook and what's in there. But first, I want to just quickly detail the Getting Answers process for you in case you haven't heard of it or you don't know it. So I give all of this in my book, obviously, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes and a link to the opening chapters, which you can download for free on my website as well. But the whole premise of the book and the reason why I wrote it down was because I wanted others to understand that you don't have to be a professional seer to get information from the universe. You are actually always in a dialogue and relationship with benevolent force, whether you are aware of it or not. And anyone, literally anyone, can have questions and receive answers about them. I always feel like I didn't invent this. I'm just one person among many to write it down right now. It feels to me like a very old process, certainly something that seers have known since time began. And the reason why I put it into a book form is because I wanted to know anyone can do this. You literally, anyone can. So there are four very simple steps. The first one is align with the highest. So essentially, you don't want to just ask any question to the universe. You want to know that you are asking your question to the most benevolent source that you know of. So if you have a name for that source, Great Spirit, God, Goddess, whatever you call that source, that's one way to align with the highest. You also can do this by an intention. So you state an intention, maybe out loud. It doesn't really matter. You can do it internally or out loud. Something like, I only receive answers that serve my highest good. That is just letting, I kind of think of it like setting your antenna. You're just telling the universe what station you actually want. There's tons and tons of answers to any question that you ever have, but you don't want any answer. You want the one that serves your life the best, that serves the highest good. So that is this first step. It is very easy, very simple. Just takes a few moments. Align with the highest. The second wonderfully easy step is ask the question. I find a lot of time we humans just sort of mill around with like the vague notion or maybe even it's acute. The notion is acute of this isn't working, or I'm not really sure what to do with this, but we don't actually form it into a question. It is the question that shapes your world and your experience. So the second step is simply framing your question into a question instead of just, oh, I don't know, I don't have healthcare at my work and I really wish I did, or whatever kind of things that we usually do. The third step is receive the answer. And I always say that it's the third step. It's not part of the second step because you can't control the timing of when the answer arrives. So ask the question is its own step, and then receive the answer. And you receive the answer in your life, doing whatever it is you would be doing. There's all kinds of ways that the answer can show up, and we'll hear from Rhonda some of her examples. But you could be standing in the grocery store and overhear a conversation. I had a client once that told me her answers always showed up in the mail. They were like written on an envelope. It was like something to do with whoever knows what. But that was one of the ways that her answers showed up. It's literally, there are endless ways that answers can arrive to you, but you can't control the timing. So it's ask the question and then receive the answer. And I think it'll be a little more clear once we give some examples from Rhonda. But the last step is act. If you do not follow through on the information that you receive, on the answer that you get, on the thing that you need to do, you will never get the goodness that is arriving there with this particular answer. So there's an action point at the end because it's really not enough to just know the answer. If you don't do the thing, then you don't get the goods. And my fondest example of this was a client I had who came to me. The details were essentially, the action point for her was go to massage school. And she scheduled a reading not long after. She knew that. And I was just confirming it. And it was that kind of a reading where I was confirming something that she already felt. And then she scheduled a reading with me within a short time after. Basically, she needed me to reiterate the same thing. Because here's the deal, if she didn't never apply to massage school, like if she didn't actually go, then she wasn't going to get any of the goodness that was coming down that road. And so you have to act, you have to take the step that you need. And sometimes it can feel a little scary if it depends on what the answer is, but you can be like, okay, I have to teach this workshop. That was an example for mine. And I'm not sure if I tell it in the book or not, but certainly around the time I was first coming out with this, that was one of the things that I needed to do, was teach a Getting Answers workshop. And anyway, so it might bring up emotion later, but the fourth step is act. So I would love to hear from you, Rhonda. What are a few of the questions and the answers you received? How did you receive the answers to any of the details you can give us? Just help us ground in understanding how this might show up in our listeners' life.
Yeah, well, I'll share two examples. You know, one's kind of a really small example and one's kind of a bigger example. And so the small example is, you know, my kids went off to college and we had an extra room. And I wanted to transform it into my spirit room. As Amy knows, I have a lot of journals, I have a lot of books, essential oils, bulletin boards, and I just wanted a place where I could relax, read, and journal that was all my own. Lovely. And so I started to sketch out my perfect room, and I was unsure about the seating. You know, did I want a day bed or did I want a lounge chair? So I wrote that question in my journal.
Okay.
I always put the date down and I write the question on one page and I leave a couple of pages blank because I know it's an iterative process to actually get the answer. It's not a one-shot thing in my example, my experience.
Okay.
So I wrote down the question, what does my perfect spirit room look like? Okay. And my intuition typically comes either in a voice or a vision.
Okay.
And I had this vision of a lounge chair, kind of an antique one, just pop up into my head.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So then I'm at work on my computer and, you know, you get those emails from websites that you subscribe to. And I got one from Cherish. Cherish is a kind of a secondhand antique online store and they pop up with ads. And there was this beautiful 100-year-old antique lounge chair just in my face. And I'm like, oh my God, that's it. Well, of course, I go and look at the price and the shipping and I'm like, oh man, it's just not in my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even going to bid on it because what I could pay versus what that person was asking for was just not in my budget. So I kind of let it go. And then maybe it was 2 weeks later, I was on Cherish looking for something else. And I thought, oh, I'll just take a look at that lounge chair. And the seller had literally reduced it almost half price. And then I just offered a little bit less and it was mine. And I had this beautiful lounge chair in my spirit room.
So good. So good. So this, I love this example because anything goes, you guys. I mean, you can literally ask any question and you can imagine if it was me and I have my own studio. So I have a similar thing on our property where you want it to be perfect. You're not, and, you know, buying furniture is no small thing. You're not just like, oh, I need another notebook. Let me go get another one. It's a whole thing. So I love that example because it's something that is significant to the person experiencing it. You want whatever the best thing is. And these are the questions that you ask. The what I call, you know, I guess I would put quotes around the right question is the one that you want the answer to, but do not know. And this happens for everyone. I can tell you, I am a professional seer. I see things out in my life and in other people's lives. And I still have moments where I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what the best course is. So this is universal. Anybody can do it. So I love this example, very specific, and especially how it came about. You saw it, you were like, oh no, that's not it. And then da-da-da. Later it was. So good. Thank you. Perfect. What was your other one?
So a bigger question was, you know, I'm obviously in my midlife, maybe a little bit less over midlife. And I've been really kind of questioning, well, what is my birth plan? What is my life purpose in terms of my time on this earth?
Okay.
And many years ago, you know, I founded a small consulting firm where we support purpose-driven organizations, nonprofits, foundations, local public health agencies, really to strengthen their social impact. And my consultation has focused on evaluation, right? Helping nonprofits document their impact and then using that information to improve their strategies. I was feeling very dissatisfied with the work. I was feeling that doing a lot of effort and work, but organizations weren't really able to take the information and improve.
Okay.
So I put a question into my journal on a blank page with a date and just said, you know, what should I be doing with my consulting practice that's in the best service of me and to others? And again, I had that, you know, voice that comes in my head and it was just like this, all upper letters, you know, facilitation. And I have been, of course, been doing some facilitation and strategy design, But it wasn't like something I was thinking about totally restructuring my consulting practice on.
Okay.
But I threw that out there and I wrote that as a possible answer. In my journal, I'll put the date of the question and then I'll put the date of a potential answer. I always put answer question mark.
Okay.
And so I put that in there and then literally the next day, you know, I get an inquiry from a client who needed to do some just true facilitation around a decision they were making, you know, an existing client that knew my facilitation skills. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Of course. So I did that. And then it went really, really well. It was very impactful. And then so I wrote that down in my journal as like an act. Mm-hmm. Someone asked, I responded and wrote the date down. And then wrote when another answer was, I felt really capable and felt impactful, wrote that down and the date. And then from there, it just snowballed. It was just continuous calls for facilitation and strategy design to where now I don't do any evaluation. All I do is facilitation and strategy work. And I think it was because I posed that question to the universe. I got an inkling of facilitation and then the universe sent me a client like literally the next day. And then that process just unfolded.
To follow up. I love it. Okay. A couple things I want to highlight about your process. One, Rhonda is such a good example of, she's describing her specific experience. Rhonda, you know that you usually get information in this way. You see it or you hear it. So everybody has that a little bit differently. It works differently for different people. And there's literally no right or wrong. Everybody has intuition. Yours is working, whichever, even if you don't get visions. But the thing I want to highlight is, one, you trusted that. You trust those visions because a lot of people have those kinds of things, but they just override it. They're like, oh, I don't know. It was just a blip. It just happened quickly. I'm not sure. Or they get, you know, they get their mind all in a bunch later afterward and then redoubt. But the moment happened and it was clear. So I love that your example highlights a listening to that inner knowing, first of all. And then the second thing that I love about it is because it is also true, if you are not sure, and if it is important, the answer will repeat. So in this case, Rhonda, you're having an experience of, oh, it's facilitation. She gets the words, all of a sudden a client asks, and then it keeps happening. So even if you get, and the example I use in my book is one, it's still one of my favorite, all-time favorites, because I lived in a house that I loved so much, and I really did not want to leave the house. So I was trying everything, get a new roommate. My partner and I at the time had just broken up, and so I needed a roommate to replace my boyfriend in the house with me. Anyway, it ended that all signs were pointing to, you need to move out. So I did do that. And it was important. So the sign, I don't think I'm going to dive into telling the whole entire story because I do it in my book, but it came in several ways, literally. And once I got the message, I was like, oh, I see. And then the following day or shortly after that, it dropped in with the song that was so impactful for me. Like the lyrics of the song, when I looked them up, I woke up one morning singing it and it was just in my head and in my head and in my head. And I looked up the lyrics. It was very clearly about a place that was going to be the demise of me if I didn't move out, essentially, something like that, which would have been true because it just wasn't affordable for me at the moment with just myself there. So in any case, the point here that I want to say that your story exemplifies so well, Rhonda, is that it will repeat. So if you get an answer and you're dragging your feet, or you're wishing it was something else, like I did with the first one, because I really wanted to stay in the house, if it's important, it will repeat. And then you do the thing and you get the goods. You are, Rhonda is no longer bored with evaluation because you're doing the facilitation. I love it. So good. Okay. So I remember from our Solutionaries membership that there was a story that you shared with us about a work situation that you had where you needed to make some decisions at work. And we all know that not every question is just, how should I decorate my room? Which is important and impactful, but sometimes we're making decisions that impact other people and we it's very common that fear comes up when we know we need to make a decision and we're worried about how it might affect others. Would you be willing to tell us the story, Rhonda? Your story was such a great example of using this process to really walk through a situation with grace and aplomb.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, so I'd be happy to. And I think this also really elicits what you just said, kind of fear about acting. That's one thing I really want to call out about your process is you can go through, you know, align with the highest good. You can go through and ask the question, you can receive the answer, but it's really acting that makes that cycle move forward.
Totally.
And I think there's a quote in your book which just says, like, God can't act. You know what I mean? You need to take the action to move forward. So I really appreciate that. And like you said, a lot of times we're doing it when we're feeling paralyzed or fearful because of what may happen. So I just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And that this example has it in it. And so, as I just shared, you know, I have a small consulting practice, and, you know, as a small business, I've employed several employees, you know, over many years. And as you know, Amy, you're a small business person too. There's just a lot of what we call non-billable hours, right? Website design, branding, payroll, accounts payable and receivable, and weekly staff meetings. And as I was going through that transformation I was sharing about moving from evaluation to facilitation, I started realizing, wow, I want to spend 100% of my time working with these social change organizations and leave behind all of kind of the business stuff.
Gotcha.
So by the end of last year, I was down just to one employee. And that employee is what we call a principal in the consulting world. That is someone who is responsible for bringing on their own projects and running their own projects. And and this principal, you know, she was awesome. She'd been with me for 5 years. She's very capable. She brings in business. My firm actually makes a profit off of her because we have an agreement around a profit sharing.
Yeah, of course.
And so, but I just had this nudge, this subtle intuition, it was time to go solo. And so I wrote again in my journal a question with a date. And the question was, what is in the best service of me and my remaining employee to whether stay with my consulting firm or for that person to leave? That was a tough question for me to write down.
Totally.
Because this person is called a principal in the consulting world. This person brought in their own projects and directed them. And my consulting group even made profit off of the principal because we have a profit sharing.
Yeah, of course.
And this employee had been with me for about 5 years and was very capable. So I wrote it down and felt butterflies in the stomach about that. But I did an exercise that you taught us in class called the breath test, and I modified it a little bit. But the idea is I put in my mind's eye a visual, a symbol of what would it look if that employee stayed with my firm.
Okay.
And so I had a visual of two people. And then on the other side of my mind's eye, I had a visual of just me.
Okay.
And so I would take a deep breath. And I'd focus on the visual with the two of us. And I would notice, how did I feel in terms of breath? Was I breathing more expansive or was I constricting? Or I was noticing, was that visual getting bigger and brighter or was it fading and moving away? And how was my emotion feeling? Was I feeling excited or was I feeling like, And so I visualized both of those two symbols, one with the two of us and one with me. And all of the signs was me.
Just solo.
It got brighter, bigger breath, feeling more just freedom.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, I was disappointed by that outcome. And I even did it a couple of times over the next couple of weeks. And it was the exact same response. It was unequivocal.
I love it.
So that means I needed to take action. So that answered the first question.
Okay.
But then the second question, which I think was just as important, well, how can I shape a compassionate conversation with this employee about my decision?
Right.
And so that was a second question that I looked for inspiration from, and came up with some ideas, probably more cognitively, but that on how I could do that. And we had a very productive conversation where there was a lot of understanding on the employee side, although that there was kind of some fear moving forward, understood it, and it was a very successful conversation. And then the third question becomes, well, how do I create a transition that's in best service of this employee and me?
Right.
So the point is, I've really experienced that, yeah, sometimes it's just one question, but one question leads to an answer, and then that leads to another question, you get an answer, and then that leads to another question that gets an answer. And so this kind of cyclical spiral process is why I think it's so important for me to document in my journal, going back to the trusty journal, because it really allows me to see that progression. And sometimes thinking, oh, I'm not making any progress, and being able to go back to my journal, and I actually cross off the questions once I feel that they've been sufficiently answered.
I love
and
it.
To be able to document that.
So satisfying. And so true, because it is a natural, you know, when we're, once we've moved on to the next thing, and if we're not actually fully moving forward on something else, it does tend to feel like, oh my gosh, we're not doing anything. We're not making any progress. So I can totally see how going back and just having a reckoning with yourself of like, wait, I didn't even know which way to go just a little bit ago. And even that is good knowledge. And then using the process to just make something graceful that I could, seems like it could have felt clunky, or certainly fear around it feeling clunky. How are they going to react? Is it going to be okay? How do I make this choice in a way that serves everybody, the highest good?
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful questioning. And I loved that. I just loved hearing about this example so much, because it also didn't just involve you. And that is something that comes up, especially for mothers. I say, I mean, I work primarily with women, so maybe it would come up for fathers too, but because my students are generally women. And the thing that I always underscore is that when you're looking for questions that involve other people, as long as you're aligning with the highest good, or you're addressing to benevolent source, whatever that means for you, you can rest assured that your answer is also going to be in service of them. So for example, if you're trying to make a family decision and it involves more than just you, it's also for your kids, maybe for your partner, your source is never going to give you an answer that only works for you, but would suck for everybody else. Meaning you will get the one that is best for everyone. So it's just something to understand, especially if you are at a point where you're asking questions that do involve other people. There's no aligning with the highest is kind of what I feel like is the safety mechanism in some way. It's the safety mechanism, but it's the thing that allows you to get to the last thing of acting with confidence, because you know it's not just any answer. Like in your example, Rhonda, you clearly understood, oh, going solo is the best part of this transition for me right now. This is what I need to do. This is my best and highest good. And then you're able to move forward with the action, knowing that you started with aligning with what was highest and best, so you can trust whatever answer comes.
Well, can I just
add
to
please.
That? One thing that I think you're really highlighting, which has become really evident to me, and it really is that, I'm going to use the word reciprocity. I mean, you teach that intuition is helping you identify the best solution for your best life, your pursuit of purpose on earth. And I absolutely believe with that. And as you just shared, many times, of course, we are interacting with our family members, like you just said, being a mother with children, or if you have a partner, or you have employees. And the one thing that I'm really starting to investigate is the reciprocity of, as I'm listening to my intuition for my best choices for my best life plan and it connects with somebody else, I am starting to see that that can also be in their best service to pursue their best life. So the example with the employee I just gave is I truly believe it was in her best interest to move on to either her own solo consulting or to find another consulting group that was just doing evaluation. A, she would make more money because she could negotiate a better profit sharing. And she would be working with more like-minded folks who were doing the similar work where I had moved on. So we really came, I think, to an agreement. It was in the best service for both of us, even though initially I was concerned it was going to cause her perhaps a little fear and a little bit of, not anger, but, you know, disappointment. But in the end, it was, I believe, in the best service for her as well. So I just wanted to acknowledge that reciprocity I'm finding, I think, is a part of this.
Yeah, I love that you highlighted that. And I mean, it to me, it feels like when you are acting in your own, when you're being you in your most authentic way, like to keep using your example, Rhonda, of like the most authentic you was really moving toward, no, it's facilitation for me. This is on my best thing. It actually always enhances other people's situation. There isn't a sense where, like, had I not followed what I, weird as it is to be a professional psychic, I would not have been able to serve the people that have been coming to me for the last 20 years. It would have, I guess what I'm trying to say is whatever it is, whatever your own authentic version and how that evolves and changes when you are following it, it is of service to others. There is this reciprocity of experience where good things also happen to other people and with other people because of following this truth and authenticity.
Yeah.
I love it. Great story. So something that comes up a lot when I teach this is the asking of the questions, the actual questions. I discovered by teaching this that it wasn't as straightforward for a lot of people as I thought it was. So I address this in my book. There's a whole chapter called Getting to the Heart of What You Want to Know. But because you have been doing this process for a few years now, I wondered what advice that you had for people for forming your questions.
Yeah, well, I'm probably more similar to you given, you know, that now, and I have been doing professional facilitation for a while, that questions come so naturally. And it's almost like in my DNA. So I posing the question has been very fluid for me.
Okay.
Where I struggle a little bit more, if I can go that way, is really receiving the answers.
Okay.
And receiving answers requires mindfulness because anything can be a message to answer that question, as you've kind of already shared, right? It could be a song, it could be a billboard, it could be singing a crow, you know, walking your dog. And so I think where my learning curve has really been, has been having patience. You write a lot about that, that sometimes the universe needs to reorganize itself or events need to happen before the best solution. So A, just having that patience. But going back to mindfulness, for me, it's like now every encounter of my day could be a possible answer.
Totally.
And it's my job to be as mindful as possible into pausing, observing, and stopping. Huh. What is that trying to tell me? And then, of course, I write it down in my journal as a possible, you know, answer. Question. So that's been more of a learning curve for me, is mindfulness in knowing anything potentially could be an answer.
Right. And broadening it up. And especially because you often get visions or words. So when it's not happening in that manner, because like we started with, life will answer you. If you are a person, if you are not like Rhonda in the fact that visions or words come to you, that doesn't matter. You don't have to have that particular formation in how you work to make it work for you. The universe will answer in different ways. A conversation you overheard, or a song on the radio and the lyrics, or you had a great example in our class recently, Rhonda, about your dog and crows.
Yeah. So I've been having another question related to a new transformation. Mm-hmm. And was walking in the morning with my dog in the park, and noticed there was a crow or two that literally flew and was walking right along with me. And I thought that was so interesting, because I see crows all the time, but I've never had a crow like literally within a foot with my dog, you know, kind of extorting me for a while. So I was so curious about that. And so I went and Googled, you know, spirit animals, crow. And crow has many meanings, and probably depends, you know, what Google site you read. But the one that I read, of many things, it was about transformation, and that it's affirming a transformation pathway that you're moving down. And it just was like, oh my gosh, that is just a confirmation of the pathway that I'm going. And that's an example of just being mindful of something that stands out to you and pausing and investigating, is that an answer? And it really did fill my heart up with, thank you, universe. You are like helping me know I'm on the right path. And then I'm not joking, for, I don't think I told this in the thing, but for like the next 2 weeks, every day there was crows on the fence, and for, they were walking with me for, and then they've kind of moved on. But I did take that from a sign, an answer from the universe around this transformation piece.
I love it. I love it. And I love it for many reasons, but the one I want to highlight is that oftentimes, when you're having these experiences, the transformation or the thing that is happening is very clear to you. Like, you're walking down the path, you know, oh, this isn't just random something happening. This crow is significant to me. And the thing that I love about your story is that sometimes later, if you're telling somebody or something, you're like, oh, there was a crow. And, you know, it can be like, huh, who cares? Like, how could this even be significant or meaningful? And sometimes it flatlines in the telling of the story. It wasn't the case when you just told the story. But I'm saying this for all of us, because what is most significant is the knowledge you have while it is happening. Like, you're having this walking and you're understanding, oh, this crow is significant to me right now. What is the message? There is a message here for me. So when you're doing this process, you know, even if later on you tell your husband or your spouse and they're like, like, what? And so then the thing just appeared and that was your message, you know, or whatever it is. It's not about how, it's not actually about that. It's about the moment, and when you're experiencing it, you know, it was something significant. I had one, I wish I could remember what I was actually questioning or thinking about, but I was laying on the lawn in our yard, which I've talked about, I think, on last episode, and I was staring up and I was contemplating something, which I can't recall what I was, but I looked straight up and there was a robin in this tree straight above me. And I was like, oh, wow, how interesting. They're like right there. And just after that, the robin literally flew like almost like dive bombed me, right? Like I literally like gasped. I was like, oh my God, because it started flying right at me and then flew away. But in the moment, it was super clear to me that it was a confirmation from spirit about whichever I'd been thinking about, which I can't remember what it was now, but it was a very clear moment. It wasn't just an ordinary thing. So great examples, because they really highlight that. And also that, I guess I'm just coming back to trusting whatever your experience is. Even if you were to describe it to somebody later and they would not get it at all, or think that was just plain, there's always crows around or whatever, there's a robin there. You know. Mm-hmm. And that's what's the most important part. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so I'm just thinking if I want to... Well, one of the things I want to say is that Rhonda recently also facilitated for a few different people the Getting Answers process, like letting your friends know about this. Can you tell us about that experience? I should say first, I had a woman once tell me that she carried my book in her purse everywhere she went, and she was always pulling it out. Like whenever things were going on with friends, she was like, well, here's the thing, here's what you do. And they would go through the steps. And I should also say as a caveat before I ask you to answer the question I just asked, is that I wrote the book with people who don't read books in mind. And I know that sounds weird, but because I know you might not get to the end, or it's a pretty short book and I write the way I talk, so it shouldn't feel cumbersome. I don't think people don't say that it's cumbersome to read. But at the end of each chapter, I literally have all the bullet points. These are the most important things. And then chapter 10 is your checklist. So even if you don't read books, you can like read the checklist in every chapter. So getting back to what I was saying, Rhonda recently facilitated this for some other people. So I just loved this experience or hearing this. And I wondered if you had any advice of it, you know, because you did it with some other friends, what you wanted to share from that experience in case there are other people who want to share this with their friends and do that.
Yeah, I really think it's a fun activity. And again, I did give your book to the people I facilitated, but I also know sometimes people just want like the cheat sheet, right? So totally. I just, you know, did a cheat sheet two pager, you know, from your book.
I love
this. Which is really fun for me to do that. And I think, What I learned from the process, and this is not surprising to you, Aimee, is that everybody has examples of using their intuition.
Totally.
And we would talk after I shared some, you know, definitions and some examples from your book, you know, we would talk about what their definitions of intuition and what are some examples and times when they believe that their intuition was acting. And everybody has access to that, as you said. That's one of your principles. I think you shared at the beginning of our solutionaries class. And so that came across for sure. I think the aha moment for me, though, in the four-step process is we can all strengthen and enhance our intuition by a very simple process like your four-step process. And I think by walking my friends and my daughter, you know, through that process, it's pretty straightforward. And it gives a structure to be more observant. It gives a structure to that, what mindfulness I'm talking about for receiving answers. And that you can do it in like 5 minutes a day. You know, it doesn't have to be this life-changing process. And so I think those are some of the takeaways. And I think that people, you know, my friends and my daughter could really value. I haven't followed back to see if they're integrating it on their daily practice or not. And I will probably do that. The evaluator side of me will check. But I think that was the takeaway, is that everybody knows what it is. Most people have experiences. And most people do want to expand and strengthen intuition to guide them into the best choices of their life. But there's just, they haven't really learned a simple process to do it.
Totally.
And that by us practicing, you know, we actually went through the process and I had them identify questions and we would talk, you know, through the process and through the breath test, you know, to take an example. So when people can just practice a little bit, I think it strengthens their self-efficacy, right? That then they could do it on their own. And that's why you said you wrote the book, so people would have this kind of navigational pain that they could do on their own.
Totally. Totally. Well, it's a delight to me because it, as you likely know, and any of you listening, if you are creator of something, you're really in the project. What? So hearing Rhonda's experience of, I facilitated this, I did this two-page cheat sheet, and I'm like, show me the cheat sheet. What did you say? It's like so fascinating to me to watch someone else be in the process and even, you know, maybe, yes, you're teaching what was in the book, but the way that you do it. So it's been a delight to watch it and even think about. I love that because I'm like, you know, again, I was going to say again, anybody can do this, but I also think we're living in a time where people have tons of questions. Most of it is rumbling, most of us are moving around like, this isn't right. This isn't right. I don't know what's going to happen there or whatever. But when you start to understand that if you form a question, you are going to get a response, and it is also going to be able to dictate your life in a way, that's not quite the word I want, but like you're going to be able to design your life and move forward in an action that you want just by a simple tool as asking a question. It is totally different than sitting around and either complaining or being like, this isn't right, that isn't right, framing it into how can I help facilitate my values being in the world of, you know, a question like that of, I'm just kind of generalizing right now because that's what feels is coming to me at the moment. But you can frame whatever's happening to you into a question, whether it is about decorating your house or where you want to live or where you want to send your kids to school, or if your child is having a hard time with something, or about the way you want to show up and contribute positively to this world. Asking a question is such a powerful way to start you on your road.
I absolutely agree. And again, just from my facilitation practice, it's all about asking beautiful questions that lead people to different levels of inquiry and different pathways. And I just view that this is one of those essential questions. And I think I shared this with you before, when you are starting to document the answers, whether it's through the signature of spirit that you talk about, or whether it's through the cues in the environment, like the crow, or whether I think the third way you said is you just kind of start living differently because you asked the question.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, documenting that, it really has increased my trust in the benevolent spirit. Because it's this validation of, I can ask these questions and I will get answers. It may take a while. It may not be linear, but that the answers will come. And knowing that it's something besides your brain that can give you the answers, that there really is this larger spirit out there that's kind of looking out for you and gives you guidance, I think is very reassuring.
So good. I love it. I love it. And it's beautifully said. In the end, it's amazing to get the answers, because when you're asking, you don't know when you want the answer. But in the end, this, I think you just hit home on what the ultimate practice helps you understand, that you are in relationship with source, with benevolence, with however you want to put it. And It's a dialogue. It's not a just, you know, one man ship trying to figure out what the heck and coming up with all of the practical things you can think of, which are amazing and a brain is good, and they're limited. Our brains can often only think of what we've ever seen before. So, I mean, that's not universally true, obviously. There are people who invent things and all kinds of amazing brains, but it is most often true that we're just looking for something that looks like something that we've seen before, when the possibilities are huge and endless. And the process of doing it really does, as you say, Rhonda, put you in touch with this understanding that not only that there's a connection and that you're a part of something bigger and that you have help. You literally have help. Just ask a question and you will get the help you need.
Yeah.
Perfectly put. Perfectly. Okay. Well, it has been a delight to have you on here. And I'm just so grateful for you sharing your experience, because I think it's so useful to hear from someone other than me just saying, really, you guys, it works. And so thank you so much, Rhonda, for being here and sharing your experiences and your expertise in using these with all of us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to engage in this conversation. As always, I always learn from our interactions, and same with today. And just thank you for, you know, lighting the way for many of us, for giving us tools and processes that are practical and kind of easy to integrate into daily life to just really help us keep track of what is our purpose on this earth and how can we live life that best suits our spirit at the time. So thank you.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And so do you want to share your website? Because I always think, you know, maybe somebody listening needs what you do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So yeah, I'm based in Portland, Oregon, and my consulting group is called Insight for Action, and it can be found at insightforaction.net, one word. And that gives a little description of the work that I do.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, dear listener, for being here. I hope this conversation was useful to you. And in closing, remember, you matter. You are not alone. We are here together. As you are enough. All my love. This is Aimee Cartier. Thank you for listening. The wisdom of my students, my Solutionaries members, is always so juicy and rich. The conversations we have together every 2 weeks on the new and full moon are truly a joy of my working life. You have wisdom too. If you are hankering to dive deeper, I might suggest that you start out with my How to Know It Is My Intuition course. It will get you recognizing your own insight instead of dismissing it and kicking yourself later. I'll put a link to that, my book, and the free download of the opening part of my book in the show notes. And as always, you can find me at aimeecartier.com. See you next time, all my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.